What up, and welcome to another episode of the 4Day Podcast. It's your host here, Monster D-Face, bringing you guys another weekly installment of your favorite 4Day Podcast show. I want to thank you guys for, of course, tuning in with us, checking in with us, downloading these episodes, and sharing on socials, just doing everything y'all have been doing throughout the weeks. Just before we press record here, we were actually celebrating the fact that the podcast has been picking up in downloads. So again, really, really appreciate y'all, man. I'm assuming there's some new listeners here from all the guests we've been having on lately. If you have a suggestion, let us know. We'd love to hear it and involve you all. As we start gearing up for today's topics, as you see the headlines that are hitting the space right now, there's a lot going on, including servers getting DDoS. Freaking ESL has been announced, but the biggest one of all of them, and we're going to talk about it, FNCS location has been revealed, and hint, it is in my current backyard, so I'm pretty excited about it. As usual, we have our returning host here, our guest, and we're going to be hopping right into the mix of things today. We're going to kick things off right now with my boy Panda. What's up, bro?
Hey, man, good to be here. Glad to be back as always. And I'm in a feisty mood today, so get ready, listeners. This is definitely going to be one you want to listen to till the end.
Guys, Panda usually shows up in like full sneakers today. I mean, he's got his toes out. Like he's not here to play, man. This dude's really, really comfortable right now. And we're going to get some hot takes probably. SVG, what's up, bro? I saw you with the baby before. Of course, you pressed the record button. She's getting big, man.
Yeah, we were hanging out. You know, she likes to grab the mic and scream. So it's been fun, but being a dad's awesome. And we don't see Panda in this mood very often. Like, normally I'm the feisty one coming into the podcast, but Panda's on one. I'm excited to see what we got.
Yeah, I mean, listen, with these topics, like, all I have to say is just get ready, buckle up.
Listen, you know, normally the guy that gets Panda upset is like the Fortnite guy. You know what I mean? Whenever we bring him up, Panda wants to fight.
We get to talk about
him. And we do get to talk about him today.
Yeah, oh, dude, that's part of my issue. Oh, I forgot.
He forgot. He didn't even remember.
That's on this list too? I can't. Okay.
Okay. Yes. No, let's lock in. We have let's start things off with a positive note, man. We had a big announcement just hit the timeline today. One of the most well-crafted trailers, like, that's all I really had to say that was like great that came out of this announcement for me personally, was that this was a banger trailer. ESL announced that they have just put together what will be a new tournament series or something that's going on right now. They're clearly investing some resources in, and I knew this was happening before they actually announced it, because guess what? They took their old DreamHack Discord and rebranded it. And I was like, what the heck is this on my Discord list? So they actually have completely, what seems like, dropped the DreamHack IP or the investment in it and put their focus into this new kind of ESL rebranding, if you will, in the Fortnite space. So this is kind of interesting.
And to add to that too, I thought they were going to do the same thing with the Twitter, but they actually kept the DreamHack Fortnite Twitter. So interesting decision there. I'm not sure what the thought process is behind it, but this ESL Fortnite announcement is massive. Now, not only obviously was the creativity behind the video itself really, really cool, what they also announced is their own UEFN based map, as well as I believe it's like weekly tournaments that they're starting up very, very soon. So all like really positive things for the Fortnite scene. We've been lacking in third-party events for the community to get involved in that are open and willing to accept everybody, no matter your region or anything else. And so definitely a good play there from ESL to bring something like that to the table. And honestly, ESL's been making a lot of good moves recently. I think their work with the Esports World Cup coming up has been great on the marketing side. And they'll continue to grow with this. And you know what? At this point in time, we needed something like this to be announced.
Yeah, dude, I can't wait to see who like the best like true BR player is that rises from the third party scene. That's not happening.
That's not this tournament.
Capture the flag.
That's not this tournament.
Play Hardpoint. We're going to play Shrinking Zone, aka Zone Wars, and they don't want to have to deal with like the legality of Zone Wars.
Wait.
So
are you saying you don't think, because it's a UEFN map, that it's not Fortnite?
Oh, it's definitely Fortnite, but like it's not what we love about Fortnite.
And this is a take that I had today. So I want to give, you know, credit to ESL for the announcement. Like I said, 1.4 million impressions already in 6 hours. You basically covered the entire competitive market for what it's worth with Fortnite audience on Twitter. So they made it. They made a big splash. But I'm kind of with you guys. I had, you know, after seeing this announcement, after seeing Red Bull announce that they're hosting some creative thing, after seeing, you know, these other sponsors jump in, everyone wants a piece of this creative pie. But I feel like they're all going to come up short. I feel like they're going to fail because, in my opinion, you're not meeting the competitive community in the middle. You're not meeting them where they want to be met. And that, to me, is at least at the crossroads of, like, box fight, zone wars, battle royale.
Well, and the difficulty is, like, the game of Fortnite isn't built to support these kind of competitive game modes. We saw with Search and Destroy maps built in the past, people just cheese angles. Like, people will find the wrong way to play these maps to optimize their ability, and they're not going to be fun to watch. And I mean, I'll cast these. I'm sure you guys will cast these too if you're offered. It's good money, but, like, it's not fun. Like, I don't necessarily care to cast some random capture the flag event. I may for the first hour, but then it's the same map over and over again. It's someone sitting on the same angle over and over again. And that's why I don't like games, or I don't want to cast games like Valorant or CSGO, because of the repetitive myths. I love the depth that Fortnite provides, and we're getting that stolen from us, and it sucks. And we're not even really talking about, like, the actual ESL announcement, right? This is fully degraded into, like, something else. So I'll try and bring us back, because I think inherently what this means, DreamHack Fortnite is now ESL Fortnite. I don't know if we mentioned that, but the whole DreamHack Discord was changed, and now we're something different. Oh yeah, Monster did mention that. So we are at a point where now this is probably going to be the way that people qualify to the Esports World Cup, and it's looking like, I mean, it was mentioned that the Esports World Cup would be in UEFN, and if I had to bet, it's going to be these three maps. So, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, and let's think about it. The Esports World Cup, right, aka Gamers 8, this is kind of where it all was created. Let's not forget, that was a full-on battle royale, and then it turned into a zero build, and now it's gotten all the way down to a creative experience where you can tell what they're building with the Esports World Cup. They're trying to trend up. They're trying to take that trajectory and missile it north. They're not involving in games and degrading the experience. But of all the game titles that they have, Fortnite in specific is the one that has gotten, like, it's gone from up here to down here, because you could see the pro player responses. Some of them are excited, but they're excited in the sense that, oh yeah, a lot of money, but not because, like, oh, let's celebrate the fact that we have a dope experience to look forward to. If anything, it started this negative press around, like, zero build for all those millions of dollars at the last Gamers 8 or whatever. That was a miss. Like, people wanted to see a good BR LAN, and we got robbed of that too. And now we're, you know, now we got to watch a creative LAN. Let's just speculate. Let's just say it's going to be a capture the flag or something like that. $3 million. However, is that going to be exciting? I think it still will be, right? Because it's that much money.
I think if it's done correctly, I think that's the big piece, right? If they, and being at Gamers 8 last year, I saw the effort they put into the content around what was happening in the week. And, like, they let talent make more or less, like, say, hey, we should make a content piece about this. Cool. Let's run it, right? Whether it involved the pros, didn't involve the pros, etc. So if they build stories around these moments and, like, the lead ups to this, I think it could be really cool. And the other cool thing, and I've noticed this, is this ESL Fortnite announcement, and probably the most impactful thing we have gotten from this, even outside of these new weekly competitions that are coming, and that these maps are potentially Esports World Cup related, but even bigger than that, the ESL has somehow found a way to bring major organizations to Fortnite. And this, like, I don't think people are talking about this enough. This is massive. We've had traditional esports organizations that have never touched Fortnite now entering into Fortnite alongside this ESL announcement, and what I can only assume has more to do with the rest of the year. But this is huge for Fortnite, and this might be the only way we can watch Fortnite from an org standpoint.
Yeah,
and just, what I mean by that is like orgs versus orgs.
I was going to say, just to highlight a couple, we have Team Dignitas. How do we know this? Well, they quote retweeted it. Right behind that, Team Heretics. Right behind that, Carmine Corp, who's now entering in.
Yeah.
Carmine Corp has this ridiculous history behind it of an extreme fandom community that, you know, comes from games like Counter-Strike and these other titles that they've been successful in. So them jumping in, that's a new org presence in the space. Epic has to be pretty happy and excited about that, because these are wins for, I think, the game community as a whole. Don't forget, org enters into the space, they pay players, right? They sign players. They bring more money. That means players get to have careers and focus in on being good players. So, you know, all in all, it does start to come together. And those are just four orgs that we've seen quote retweeted. So we have to assume there was some kind of involvement in there, right? They had the heads up. But that's just it. It also just shows us we don't really have many other orgs left. So
none.
So where this all comes from is the Esports World Cup is giving organizations stipends to sign players in different games that they don't normally participate in. And now that just comes back together of like, this is going to be a way to qualify to the Esports World Cup, because there's no way Carmine Corp, who was never involved in Fortnite, is now suddenly getting involved in Fortnite. Like, they clearly just got their however many $100,000 stipend to sign their Fortnite players, which is fine. Like, I don't blame them. But at the same time, like, they are now going to be pretty much pushed in a direction to almost advertise for ESL and the Esports World Cup because they're taking their money. So I'm interested to see like how organizations continue to advertise themselves moving forward. And it's good, like, for us, yeah, cool, it's more money in the space, but it's also, you're kind of just taking Saudi money to then say what they want you to say.
Yeah, that could be probably a whole discussion in its own, which we have touched on before, by the way, that this is all one massive marketing ploy, but we're not going to get too deep into that one. I want to continue on. We were really running that topic up. We have some other stuff to quickly hit on, though. Of course, the FNCS location was announced, with the FNCS beginning pretty much this weekend. We're right in the thick of it. So once we're done downloading or uploading this, if you're catching it early, that's right, you're right in the middle of FNCS weekend. And the location was announced. We kind of hinted at it earlier. It's going to be taking place in Texas. That's right. We have, was it the Arlington Stadium? What was the name of the stadium?
It's the Dickey Arena in Fort Worth, Texas.
Fort Worth, Texas. Basically, if you're in the Dallas area, you would know where exactly that is. That is somewhere, I believe, north of Dallas, just around that general area. Something like that. Yeah, but
I thought it was south, but I could be wrong.
It could be one or the other.
I'll be honest. It's one or the other. It's north, south. It might be east or west. We don't know. But we know it's not in Dallas. But the cool thing about this, and I think the thing that Blast is really banking on with this, is they actually hooked Rocket League right after. So it's all in the same arena. So they probably have the arena for about a week and a half.
Dang.
And they do Fortnite and then one day break. Literally, Fortnite ends on Sunday. Monday's a break. And then Tuesday starts the Rocket League Worlds event in the same arena.
Oh my gosh.
And because they have both competitive products, they're running both, right?
How many more tickets do you think they're going to sell? Just because like Rocket League fans are in town, might as well, right? Like, make a weekend out of it, enjoy the weekend, watch some Fortnite.
I think it could. My only problem with it is, we know the Rocket League community, not all of them, there are some that enjoy Fortnite, but there are a good portion of them despise Fortnite and Epic because after they've transitioned ownership and stuff. But
come on, dude, Fortnite has Racing League or whatever they call it in the
Rocket
game
racing.
Rocket Racing, bro, come on, man, they love it. Let's be honest, man. I think it'll boost sales, though. I personally do think so. I wouldn't be surprised if we get like a packed house. Will they clap when Booga walks out? Maybe, but you know.
Yeah, so I think it'll do well, but I also think it'll do well because it's in Dallas and the home of like most of like the Fortnite influencer pro scene is all based in Dallas now. So, I mean, think about it this way. Like, influencers that we know are in Texas, right?
I mean, you have clicks. Clicks fans are going to show up.
Epic Whale, like you have, and there's a good chance Clicks and Epic Whale are going to make it through. Let's be honest.
And even if they don't, they'll be there featured 100%.
Oh yeah, for sure. And so I genuinely think that it was very smart of them to pick Dallas as a location. It's a great, it's an easy airport to get into. It's not super chaotic. And for those that may visit Dallas from outside Dallas, it's not a great place to be at night. So just be mindful of that. otherwise, you're good to go.
Over under odds that Blast tries to pull a situation like last World Cup where Ninja was in town. They got Ninja to cast. Are we going to see Cypher cast? Yes or no? Over under.
If he's there, yeah. Well, they did it at the Invitational, remember? They brought him up literally on the analyst desk for a whole segment. They did the same thing with Somerset. I think they genuinely, they want to get influencers involved. I think the only reason last time, from what I read, because there was like people tweeting out during Globals, is I think there was some kind of visa issues with influencers that they were trying to get in. And so it just didn't happen at the last Global, but you don't have that problem as much when you're in the US. So,
right. Yeah, no, and that's the other side of it. I mean, this is going to be quite the attraction. Obviously, a lot of Americans flew to EU, to Copenhagen, to go enjoy the event there. What do we think the odds are of a big influx of, like, you know, foreigners coming on over?
I don't think it's going to be that big. I feel like we'll probably get a pretty big US population.
That's it.
But also, like, the timing isn't great. Like, if you wanted to do it in the summer, I think you could get a bigger EU population because that's when most Europeans take some kind of vacation versus now, like, September, people are back in school, people are getting back to work. I just don't see,
you know,
the audience being
that. That is interesting. You had maybe could it just be like we'll always have this problem because, like, you know, Globals happen at the end of the year, so it's like if we host it in summer, it's like another LAN already 6 months away. There's not enough runway, but now it's pushed back kind of a month. Do you think they're trying to gear it up so they're like slowly pulling back the tide here so that next year, Global Championships or whatever the big LAN is in the summer has to be right?
No, I think the reason I say this is the only reason I think they put it in September is because they're pushing that OG FNCS league.
So you think we're gonna have an end of the year potential FNCS? We're gonna have an
end of the year OG Chaos Fortnite FNCS, and it will be branded FNCS based on what we saw from that league. Obviously, I haven't heard anything from any like official source. I mean, I probably couldn't say it if I did, but those leaks came out, and that's the only thing that makes sense. Is why would we have a competitive event, the last competitive event for the year, the first weekend or second weekend of September?
And it does seem early. It seems
for the rest of the year.
Yeah, it seems super early. It actually seems like I didn't even really think about the bad timing, but it seems like really bad timing. Now that SVG is like, yeah, dude, there's no shot. Like, it's like summertime is over. Like, you're totally right. Everyone's getting back into gear. And then it just makes me wonder why hasn't any of the LANs been in the summer? Like, we should have totally been gearing up for those. And now that it's even earlier, I'm optimistic that we're trying to like slowly pull it back to offset the timeline here. But who really knows? So with that, we will have a pretty interesting end of the year. I guess we'll have to speculate what'll come, but something has to fill the void there. And Panda could be totally right. We saw those big leaks there. Let's talk about FNCS kicking off right now. We do have some usual player shakeups, but also the usual Fortnite shakeups as well with, I believe, what was it? The Wings of Icarus obviously being fully banned out of competitive and not seeming to have made a return just yet, but also some date changes. We have this new interesting extended bye week happening kind of right in between the FNCS. SBG, how about you take us through some of the details, if you will, if you have the material pulled up.
Yeah, I gotcha. So earlier this week, Fortnite tweeted out full FNCS Major 2 schedule, save it. And I was like, that's a little weird. It starts today, today or tomorrow, and then begins qualifiers the next 2 weeks, and then we have a 2-week break. from April 21st is the end of the second qualifier, and then May 10th is the next one. I was like, that doesn't seem right. I'm pretty sure every week had, or every season had the same format. So then I went back and looked at old screenshots, because they've now changed the old rules and blog post, but now it does say this, but old screenshots show that it wasn't supposed to be this way, which is weird. And they didn't really say anything about changing it. Like, they just kind of said, made a mistake in the SF and GF dates. Here's an updated tweet in response to their tweet, which, like, doesn't, I don't know. It was weird, because I saw players complaining about it because they put a vacation around it. Anyway, changes on that. Don't love. We've gone over why the bye weeks suck, and it's basically going to be this weird time. They're just going to ban cheaters, hopefully, and then we get to play a somewhat good semifinal. So we'll see. I mean, NA also moved earlier. Now NA is at 6 p.m. Eastern as opposed to 8 p.m. Eastern, which is great. I mean, even NA people, 8 p.m. Eastern is way too late to start
anything. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So that's a big one. And, you know, I'll throw it out to you guys. Those were the, like, major changes in that FNCS. Pretty much the same as we all know and love.
So just real quick, and I'll let Monster take on this. They did not make this official change to these dates until the last week. The reason I say that is I booked my producer to fly out here and confirmed the dates via the official blog post a week and a half ago when I booked his flight. It was not long ago at all, right? Because we made the decision pretty last minute to have him fly out. So the fact that these dates changed, it had to have come very recently. And it threw me off, because now I got to change his flight home from the 12th to whatever the next week is. But it's interesting that they put an additional bye week with no context as to why. Maybe they saw more benefit in having an additional time frame. Who knows? But no, I guess
we'll wait and see. I think we have an update coming, and the last thing we need is not enough time to fix whatever is about to happen that is inevitable between there. And the lesser of both evils was just push it back a week. Like, we just have to do that. Because we know, like, the Fortnite train is moving, and it is never stopping. So, you know, if you have a barrier in the way, and you don't fix it, it's going to drive right through it. So they're likely just trying to give some room for something that might be happening. So that's my speculation. Is there a more plausible reason than that? I don't think so. I think that is about as good as it's going to get. I think we're going to get something in the middle, and we just need a little time to do some server performance. Because we all know that, even pro players know, that the first week of FNCS is usually the worst. And then by the end of the season, oh, we got enough gear tunes and this, and, you know, we have enough player interactions, and they get all the data that they need, and it gets fixed by the end. So I think the 2 weeks is to help fix and prepare for those.
I think it's fully just to ban cheaters, because they weren't able to do it in the 1 week last time, so they're giving themselves an extra week. So we can at least go into, like, a clean-ish semifinals.
I would like that, actually, a lot.
I hope so. I mean, for, like, competitive integrity purposes, it's wild how far cheaters have been getting.
Okay.
I mean, we had a whole conversation, but
I just want to hit on, I want to ask you this. Do you think we have more cheaters, or just do we have more people tweeting about cheaters?
It's a difference. We have more cheaters.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, cool. I think so too.
but I also think people are tweeting about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy where, like, you complain about cheaters, more people look up cheaters, more people buy cheats, so yeah. Then you get more cheaters.
Yeah, yeah.
The other weird thing is Grand Finals ends May 19th. The next Major 3 Week 1 qualifier begins June 14th. So there is less than a month in between these two FNCSs. It's like 3 weeks, which is kind of scary considering we know what the season starts like. We know what goes on at the beginning of seasons. So pretty much we're going one FNCS right into the next one.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Especially for my wallet that I have to fly my producer back out 3 weeks later. But, you know, hey, here we are, you know, doing things for you, the community. So well, tune into the FNCS watch party at twitch.tv/lifewithpanda.
Well, lucky for you, Panda, I know one event no dudes are allowed at, and that's the Milk Cup. So you don't have to worry about covering that one. We have an all-females tournament, $250,000 put up on the line, and it's women only, and it's called the Milk Cup. And this is a very interesting opportunity here for females to, you know, make some pretty substantial prizing and earnings. However, this has come with its own number of layers of, I think, memes and traction and conversation around, because who the heck decided to call this the Milk Cup over at the Got Milk team, you know, because that guy needs to get fired and or reprimanded a little bit, you know, give someone else the job is what I'm saying.
So look, I think the name is very much out of touch. It's for a women's only event, you call it the Milk Cup. You can call it Drink Milk Cup, right? Because that's their push, right? Is it's NA based farms or whatever that want you to drink more milk, right?
It could have been called anything, and the sponsor could have still been Got Milk at the top, like, you know.
Yeah, Got Milk Cup. It could, yeah, it, or nah, it's Got Milk Cup might still be.
That might be worse.
Yeah, that might be worse. But so, look, I think the event itself is really cool. I think the execution, while I understand on the business side why they only want NA players to be involved, because the sponsor is very NA based and they get zero value from conversion in EU, I fully understand that. But when you're hosting this as the biggest female only event ever, right, and excluding a large portion of the female player base, you're automatically going to be under fire, right? And that's what we're seeing coming from this now. That's not to say that there aren't incredible NA based women that will be able to be showcased that otherwise may not have been, and so we're always excited for that, and inclusion is always a really cool thing. But between the name being kind of out of touch and this coming off the heels of like all the other drama that eFuse has dealt with, like it makes you wonder if the people that are kind of going through these names a little bit are just so burnt out and like they just don't even think to double check.
A little bit curious of how eFuse is involved in this, because when I looked through the comments section, there was another company called Radiant. Mm-hmm. They're a Valorant fully woman based organization. They produce events and, you know, observe games, etc., all in the Valorant community. So do we think it's that like eFuse sold this to a sponsor, made them believe like, hey, this is the greatest idea, and then they outsourced to like this Valorant production female crew? That's kind of what it seems like. Because I was trying to tie it together. I was like, yo, whose idea was this? Like, and how did it end up in eFuse's lap? Because like Milk, right? Got Milk just went through hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of paid marketing spend to push their pretty bad creative maps. And I know they were bad because I got paid pretty hefty sum of money to promote them in our Discord, and it did not go well. Our players were quite frankly upset with the performance and the bugs they found. But hey, there was a lot of money to give back to the players, and you know, we made a fair chunk of change. So it is what it is. I won't be promoting that map again, but I clearly just worked with this sponsor through another entity that outsourced us. But all I could think of was like, that was a completely different company that brought me that. So how in the world did this end up on eFuse's lab for like an all women's thing? This could have been anything. This could have been anything, literally anything.
To be fair to eFuse, maybe this what did not originate with eFuse, and they are just leveraging eFuse's relationship with women in the Fortnite space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they host WOT. And I think, you know what, Monster, that brings up a perfectly good point. I was a little premature of me to just automatically assume that eFuse would be out of touch and just call it the Milk Cup, but it is.
No, it's the sponsor. The sponsor definitely called this the Milk Cup.
You don't think anybody at whatever production company was like, hey guys, let's have a come to Jesus meeting for a second. We're hosting an all women's event and we're going to call it Milk Cup.
Not a chance. I think they're all afraid to speak up and they just nodded their heads and were like, we'll do it. And then we got all the social backlash. The memes are pretty hilarious. If you're a woman who has taken offense to this, I do apologize in advance. But you know, it kind of just is what it is. This is the scenario at hand.
Oh yeah. And again, this is not meant to be, obviously even our discussion of it is not meant to be insensitive to what's being drawn to this. Cause at the end of the day, this is an incredible event for the women in the space. And I think all three of us agree with that. It's just, it feels like the execution on this one was definitely missed, sadly, and it could have definitely gone way better for them. And you never know. Maybe they'll learn from this and maybe they'll be like, the next one will just be like, don't drink oat milk cup.
I'll be honest, I don't even think they're going to see any of the backlash because, you know, normally at this point, with how much money they throw on, this is a shut it and forget it. They'll see the metrics when the event goes live, and I'm sure it'll be a fantastic cup, and there's gonna be plenty of more memes and stuff to come as we start getting closer to it. Let's get into a couple extra quick hits here before we start rounding out the day. SBG, you tossed on the document, but this is a real issue that we saw happening here. Servers were actually getting DDoS. They seem to be a targeted attack happening throughout the weeks. Can you shine a little bit of light, maybe some more details on what all unfolded there?
So I'm no technical expert. This is based on what people are saying. Whole servers are being attacked, or entire performances, where whatever is in between players and the ability to play the game is being disrupted. And during multiple finals, this happened in multiple regions. I saw it in Middle East. I saw it in Brazil. I saw it in OCE, and I saw it in EU. Someone has the ability to pretty much be like, I'm going to pause the game. And that's what happens. There's just a huge server disconnect and players get stuck. They can't move. Some players can for a little bit. Some players can't. And it seems like people are doing this at will. And I would say, it's just like one little problem in a single area, but the fact that this has happened in multiple different servers says that this is going to be a problem this weekend.
Do you think this is going to be a problem this weekend? I was thinking it, yeah, and then you were finishing your sentence, because now I'm trying to connect the dots. Like, maybe that's why they were like, yo, we need 2 weeks to fix this. Like, forget that 1 week bye week. No, we need 2 weeks. Like, we really got to figure this out. Now I'm feeling a little concerned about server performance. Before, I was thinking, my original thought was, maybe some maintenance, maybe some gear, but now I can see probably why they really need to focus in on it. Panda, your take, is this a malicious attack? Is it bad timing? Is it some bad coding? What are we thinking?
I definitely think it's a malicious attack, but I don't think the kid, because it's gotta be a kid, right? Like, let's figure this out. Understands the repercussions that are coming for them, because it's one thing when you DDoS a person,
how easy is it? Right? Is it easy? Is it easy? I guess I should ask. Is it easy?
It is. I don't want to say it's easy, right? But it's not. It's not so difficult that someone couldn't go on the internet and figure it out.
Right.
Right. That's the problem. And now to DDoS a game server is very different than to DDoS an individual. Right. It's easier to attack somebody and get their information and manipulate their internet connection. We saw it with Ryze and Niamso. Ryze getting kicked off during FNCS Grand Finals last season. Like, that's the perfect example of seeing it done to an individual. But to see it done to an entire server, which, mind you, I don't think they were shutting down all of AWS, right? And AWS is the servers that, to my understanding, Fortnite functions on still, right? It seems like they've found a way to target the Fortnite servers within AWS, which takes profound effort to figure that out.
That's a lot more specific, right? It's like, mm-hmm. If they are figuring out, or they found a vulnerability that allows them to just literally pinpoint the server that is communicating basically with the Fortnite players. Because if you guys don't know the way the servers kind of work, it's like, even think of the replay client. Like, people always wonder, like, why is there a server hitch in the replay clients? Well, it's because every time it hitches, it's almost like, okay, data was saved, transmit data, right? Like, and that's the moment of like beat to beat of reporting essentially the data. If they found that exact vulnerability or where that data is being almost communicated and they're disrupting that, that's going to disrupt all the live servers as well. Or could it be that is the issue? Like, what if the server report is like coded poorly right now, and it's actually just a problem of Epic's own networking? You know, could they have tried to expand too many servers, and now they're having the replay live client, like, actually the replay client issue actually in live mode? Because if it's as consistent as we think it is, it's probably almost you could determine it's going to happen like just about every 5 minutes.
Well, and my biggest concern with all this is we're seeing this as a trend in esports. Mm. An Apex event got taken completely offline for somehow a hacker being able to get into the game and through the game getting into individuals' devices and installing cheats in like live during the game. So the player like literally started the match with no cheats and then had all of a sudden had aimbot. And then all of a sudden could see through walls. Like, these things were being added on the fly, and it's like, that's where the concerns lie for me. Because you and I mean, all of us know, we've seen Epic ban people for cheating, and maybe they weren't cheating or whatever it was, but they don't get unbanned, right? Unless you're a big name and you have an ample amount of proof, which is obviously different. But imagine a kid who's invested so much time and effort to being a competitive player. Somebody logs in, adds some kind of cheat to their thing, they get banned, and it wasn't their fault. And it's a result of what's going on now. You know as well as I know, Epic doesn't have the resources to check into the full story. This kid is just saying, oh, I didn't do this. Like, somebody else did this, but now is going to get banned. Like, there are serious repercussions from this. And so whoever is doing this, especially if you're hearing this right now, which you probably aren't, but if you are, understand that you are getting ready to face the wrath of Epic, who will sue you into the ground, have you arrested, and make sure that your life is kind of ruined because of these decisions. So if you did do this, back up. Okay, imagine Apple's just like, you know what? How do we get Epic out of the equation? Make Fortnite bad.
All right, that was a joke. That's probably a bad joke, but, you know, that would be crazy. Any final takes on this one, SVG, before we move on? Because this definitely is, it's a pretty serious situation happening right now. And like we said, we saw it affect Iamzo and Ryze last season, like, literally took, you know, stripped them of their chance at FCS championship. So if that is the case, do we think, like, the tournament's going to be postponed as a whole? Are we just going to have to bite the bullet and, you know, the results are the results? Like, where does it leave us?
I think, unfortunately, we all know what is going to happen. They're just going to run the tournament, and whatever happens, happens. And we have to live with it, even if it's not, like, the most competitive thing in the world. I hope that doesn't become an issue. Today during EU, I didn't see any issues during the Duo Cash Cup, so they may have resolved the security issue or whatever the problem was. We're about to have NA start, too, here in a little bit, so we'll see. The good news, and maybe it's not great news, but, like, qualifiers don't have set lobbies, so, like, there's not a single lobby that you can attack if that's how that works, which is what it seemed like it is. So I guess that's good news.
So we won't know until it's too late, guys. Tune in 3 weeks. Well, guys, it's been a fantastic episode. We got a couple quick hits here before we start signing off. Shout out to our guy and good friend Levin and Reese Hub. Well, I guess really just Levin, who just revitalized his Fortnite podcast, Fantasia, which was an old product from our good friends BalaTW and Shia Wager. One of the best pieces of content that we had in the community for quite a long time. It was way ahead of its time. But that has just made a return, as it just seems like 11-2K is going to carry on the torch alongside some of his new hosts and co-hosts. So go check them out. And also, we want to talk about this, but we're just going to do some quick hits here. As Panda, gives a huge congratulations and a welcome back to his favorite, the Fortnite guy, as KNG returns under a new umbrella, new rebranding called The Swamp, and they signed some hitters, man.
Yeah, man, all powered by ApeCoin. Make sure to go get your ApeCoin now so Miro doesn't go broke. Okay. Nah, listen, it's just another KNG rebrand for them to hide behind and throw another crypto coin in its place.
Well, I hope not. They have some pretty legit names under their belt. They have some of the most promising talent now signed to them. What team was Miro signed to before?
Dignitas.
Yeah, that was a joke. I said that intentionally. How do you go from Dignitas to Swamp is what I want to know. So there has to be some serious money be thrown around.
And look, we know how this is going to go. I'm not even going to get into it. The Fortnite guy has never been a good person and has easily been a scumbag for as long as I can remember. And if he wants to challenge that, he can meet me in the boxing ring. That's it. That's all I got to say.
That's been Panda's take for 2 years.
Yeah, dude loves the Fortnite guy. I'm not a fan either, but like, it's just not worth it at this point. And I think we'll see this org come and go. I don't think they're a Saudi stipend team, but I do think this is a competition or to prepare for that, knowing that they have money and they're going to hopefully be able to make some from it. I don't understand why they're coming back, but I also kind of understand with all the money being thrown around at Fortnite at the moment.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt if maybe they were contacted and he was like, yeah, or he contacted them and like, you know, he wants to get a team in there as he had success with Apex Legends. And he's like, dude, I know I could do that again, right? If I had the second roster. So anyways, player signed Miro, Ritual, Pump, Bryce, and Ver. Again, all promising prospects as far as the Fortnite community is concerned. Miro, of course, being the most decorated. And I got to give them their props. Their announcement video is pretty slick. Seeing my boy Miro sit down, getting his little serious tone, jump in his car. And it's a cool little video. At the end, kind of fizzled out as the Fortnite guy, you know, started talking. That was probably the worst part about the video.
But so, yeah, what was that announcement? Like, I totally forgot about that until it was, like, totally a normal Fortnite, like, org announcement. And then he just sits there for, like, a minute and a half and talks about himself and what he plans to do.
Yeah, you know, he understands the CEO has to be a part of the content role. I guess that's why we all remember his name very, very fondly. So with that, we do have another org entering back into the space alongside, of course, the great French community and French organization, the Carmine Corp. So I'm super excited to see who they're going to sign there. I've already seen Anas, by the way. Shout out to Boop who put a tweet out. Anas gearing up on the ESL map. I'm on Fortnite.gg just trying to check their player count. 128 players. So there are going to be a couple serious grinders, man, trying to lock in right now for some capture the flag. Trying to make that money. Well, hope you guys all enjoyed today's episode. It's a bit of an extended one. Don't forget, you can send all your complaints to me at MonsterDFace on social media. But with that, let's start letting the boys start to sign out here. We're going to start it off with Panda. Panda, what are you up to throughout the week? We know you're doing the viewing watch party. We know you have a lot going on. Any special guests, anyone flying in, or you're still fielding some opportunities?
I'm still fielding some for the future dates, but got my boy and no one I'd rather be sitting behind for the beside for the first week. Somebody's gun most likely going to be there for the first one. And then we'll let you know as every week comes through. We'll let you know the new guests coming up. But listen, this watch party has become a really cool outlet for me and John and everybody that's been a part. And it's just really nice to be able to hop on and have fun and just enjoy Fortnite like it's meant to be enjoyed. So if you want to enjoy some Fortnite too, twitch.tv/lifewithpanda every broadcast day. So Sunday, this Sunday coming up, which is 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th. Don't miss it. We're going to have a lot of fun. It's the only live studio broadcast that you can watch Fortnite. I'm just saying it.
Heck yeah. And SVG, you're going to be there. Where can the players find you, man, or the listeners?
It's Somebody's Gun everywhere. Short form content's been booming recently. And make sure to go to Panda's Watch Party because we'll be hanging out watching the games at an earlier time so I don't have to drive home at midnight. That'll be nice.
Heck yeah. Well, guys, we hope you all stay safe and enjoyed this episode. And for anyone listening, we hope you enjoyed, of course, listening and tuning in with us. Don't forget, you can share. And once again, send your complaints to me. So don't forget, until next time, don't forget to dance out those kills and boast in those victory yells. Peace, y'all.